with you when Celebi popped off, like, I can't imagine, like, literally having your phone just going off constantly, yeah. like, the effect that would have, obviously, like, a positive one, but, yeah. like, even just, like, that feeling, like, seeing literal hundreds of thousands of people responding to you and only you. And then also,
did
like,
you leave it for a second and see how many notifications you could get?
Sometimes I just sometimes I go on it and I'll be like, phone off all right, yeah, that's cool. But and then I'll leave it. I'll see like, oh, how long can I get in this amount of time? And then I'll look on it and I'll be like, okay, yeah, 25k. Say nothing. Let me put my phone down for a little second. No, it's definitely. I just don't feel like there's enough like people. You can't explain it to people, that feeling of being at the top.
It's the highs and the lows, yeah. isn't it?
You can never explain that to someone.
There's nothing really out there about it.
Yeah, it's like everyone kind of responds differently, but at the same time, you can't contain the actual feelings inside of you of knowing I'm actually popping right now. Like, I remember walking down the street, like,
I bet it's a buzz, man.
Yeah, for the first time, I'm hearing people saying,
shouting your name out.
Like, the whispers and like, like the first time, and then after that, the first time I got stopped for a photo, that was like another one like up there. And then after that, it was like, well, like I just keep on doing these things that I never knew that I could do. But I always kind of reminded myself while I was up there that it's not going to be forever. Like, even I said this to you.
You said it to me.
I've said it to you many a times. It's not going to be forever. And even for people like Drake and all the big artists like that, it's not always like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have your moments where it's like, all right, you need to come back down to a level now and just kind of realise that you are the same people as...
Yeah, what was Drake doing clashing Kendrick? Man? Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, silly guy.
But then people, like...
I think it's a very mature approach to have. And
got his name out there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
He was already out there.
The wrong way. Reasons, but.
I think it's very important that, you know, to have... It's all about your expectations as well. So be realistic and be mindful about, like you say, the highs and the lows and how you manage that in your own mindset. But like you say, if there's nothing out there for people, especially, you know, more in the youth world side of things, then that's something that we can bridge the gap on as yeah. well.
Because it does get hard. It does. Because imagine for however long you're popping, every day someone's telling you that they're your favourite artist. And you go into these labels and they're wanting you. Do you know what I mean? Like, that feeling of just wanting, like, I've actually got 5 major labels in my hand right now, blah, blah, blah. And they've all said that we'd do this for you, we'd do that for you. It's hard to kind of... snap into reality even a bit there, where it's kind of like it's definitely hard.
So having some tips around that would be useful.
Ringing in my ears.
It's not my phone. I think it's the bat phone over there.
Yeah, it's that one. I can see a green light flashing.
I don't know anyone in the industry. I've kind of just learned that mindset of watching, do you know what I mean? Just kind of looking at the current state of things and kind of realising, alright, it's going to chew you up and spit you out eventually at some time. So when you're prepared for that, then when you kind of do hit the ground, at least you...
Like, but, like, think about how many people don't prepare themselves for that, though.
No,
like,
exactly. Yeah. So you have a very mature mindset about that, whereas compared to other people out there, they might not. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great example.
I wouldn't blame them, because at certain times I caught myself slipping into that mindset of no one can chat.
Who are you?
To some extent, though, that many...
That's human nature, though. Like,
it is, yeah.
It's going to
yeah.
be, isn't it?
Yeah. Like you've got to kind of look around yourself and realise what is actually going on at certain times. And kind of, although you're hopping out of this mindset, you kind of want to stay out of the other mindset, going back to what you was doing before.
So just got to be humble, yeah. aren't you? And just kind of...
Yeah, that's one thing that I hope I always try and project is just humbleness onto humbleness definitely. Onto people. It's just I'm no better than you.
That's exactly how I am.
I'm no better than the cleaner outside who's going to clean the streets tomorrow, and I'm no better than someone who's making £100,000 a day. Like, and I would hope that they don't see themselves as better than me, but at the same time, you can't really. Control that.
Mm-hmm. You can control yourself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Exactly. And how you perceive things and how you react. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I can say from my observation, you coming here, it was difficult to get anything out of you. you know, you're still the same guy that came here 12 months ago or whatever. You still come to our old little building and shack out, and you're still, you've just been grounded. You've just been the same guy. I mean, I would have to ask your friends, how many units has it done this week? Or if I'd seen them, I saw them at the boxing at the Barretts, and like between Thursday and the Saturday, it'd gone to over 100,000 views or something. So
yeah,
it's very interesting.
There was a point where it was doing a million streams a week.
Ridiculous.
It's amazing, but it's like, woo.
Wow, yeah, that was crazy. And it was like 1 minute I was celebrating 1 million, and then the next minute I'm celebrating 10. It was...
Yeah, that was quick, actually. I remember that.
It was
like,
very quick.
We were talking about the first million, and then it was like the 5 million, quick after that.
Yeah. Then after that, it was at 10 again.
Yeah.
Which is
crazy. Power of social media.
Yes.
Honestly, it is actually like crazy.
That gave me a mad insight into like how powerful it really is. Like, because like you see it happen with artists, but when you actually see it like firsthand happen,
This is valuable, isn't it? It's valuable. Your journey is different to everyone's journey here. What happened for you? And it happened for other. I know we spoke to a couple of guys who came in before, different studios around here, and he concentrates on making money from Spotify plays.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, maybe the amount of songs that he puts up is enough to generate the income to get, say it was £500 a week. So that's what he's getting. So he's saying to himself, all right, I might not be on the billboards here, there and there, but the amount of
materials. You're making a living off it.
Yeah. You know, there's £500 a week in his pocket. They ain't even got, you know, those are just coming from the plays.
Yeah, it's contempt.
You know what I mean?
There's other ways as well. Is it PRI or something? I'm trying to think. Is it
PPL, PRS.
PRS.
PPL. PRS. Yeah, I think Performing Rights Society, they collect your royalties for it.
Basically, so that everything that gets played on any radio show, if you log it on and then put in the time on your account...
Mm-hmm.
They pay you for having your tracks played on the radio.
Yeah, as we know that some of these platforms,
and that's going even in venues that are playing your song,
like in the shops,
like
on
the
TV,
anywhere
adverts.
Like that, you get paid for it, and they've got some way of logging it all, haven't they?
Yeah. So when I used to do the shows at the BBC, every song that I played, which wasn't on their system. You'd have to put down the name of the artist, the writer, the label it was on, the PR code, the number. I'd have to put all that information in,
and then
those royalties would be then paid out.
To the
artist. Of course, we know that this is another conversation for another podcast. Like we know that some platforms are paying 0.0001 pence per stream.
Spotify does not pay F at all.
It out.
For as much as that app is used, the rate that they're paying people is crazy.
That's a discussion
crazy,
we should
crazy,
be having,
crazy.
I think. Yep. You know, because, you know...
Music apps and companies.
I see Snoop Dogg talking about that the other day, about... what he got from
Spotify. Really, it's not worth
lot of money when you hear the big artists talking about it, because their song's done 150 million streams, so obviously they got a lot of money. But when you actually really break it down, like for what it is, like per 500k or like per million, it's
on 1,000 plays for a pound.
When back in the day, our era, it was you'd buy a CD and then that's £10 and you'd sell in that a million times and then it's...
That's how you got your money.
I just feel like it's because of how much Spotify is actually being used. Like, I think it's like something like 300,000 songs get uploaded daily on there. Mm-hmm. So like if they did have that high cap, I think they'd be kind of in the negative a bit. But
I can understand. But fair play, you know.
I think where they're winning is there's so many artists up and coming that want to just release stuff that they're just paying them to do it.
It's where everyone listens,
and it's
though,
a multi-billion business at the end of the day. Yeah, it's crazy. It's
the biggest, it is the biggest streaming platform. So,
Is TikTok not up there now? They've got their own...
They've started to pay creators now as well.
No, they're shutting TikTok music down.
Are they?
Are they?
Yeah. Like, They started their own version of Spotify,
didn't they?
They started their own thing. It was like trialing in like South American countries. I think it was in like Brazil and Colombia and stuff. But they've started to shut it down because they want to like streamline it and focus like more on getting the traction on songs on TikTok and then putting that on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, like rather than making their own thing.
It's interesting because songs are found on Apple Music and not always the big songs on Spotify and vice versa.
Yeah, I've done a lot of crossovers with this.
I've done a lot of crossovers between, I think I've got them all, like, I haven't got Amazon, but I've got Tidal, I've got Spotify, I've got Deezer, I've got Beatport, Beatsource.
There is one where you pay them to release it and they release it on everything.
DistroKid.
Yeah,
that's right. On their journey, these gentlemen here learnt all that. While they were here, and you know, they'd come back and they did the research, and these guys were like, right, Mark, we're releasing our first song on Spotify on Friday. I remember them going through the whole journey.
Yeah, the whole process.
It's incredible that, you know.
Amazing. Great to be a part of something like that. Right.
So, finish up.
Because I was an extra in a film by Alan Moore, and he got it was just a scene in a pub. And it was at Eastern District. And we're just sitting in a pub drinking fake beers. And then Slow Toy came in. I was speaking to his manager, and he was telling me about DistroKid then, and that's how Slow Toy made it. He was an independent artist, and then he got on Deezer, and it took off from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, there are some indie. I was watching a program just the other week. There are some artists that are wholly independent. I think it's one of the rappers from America. It's not J. Cole. It's one of those kind of rappers, and he owns all the rights to all his music.
Yeah.
And he's the first. I think he's the first artist, independent artist, to win a Grammy. He owns everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big thing about it being independent.
Everyone
wants to be independent nowadays. Yeah, but they kind of get tricked into the labels. Labels even want to like make people look like they're independent.
Yeah.
They want to have people signed and like distributed through them. But
yeah, because I feel like people when they're getting into the game, they're getting more smart with it. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're not just kind of signing their life away on a piece of paper.
No, they're thinking about it.
Nobody wants to do that now, I find a lot of people, and there was a signing company called Chop Life, and they were trying to get me to do a tour, and they were basically saying, you run it and do all the shows, but we'll do the locations and sort of like a tour of England. Mm. What a lay down tour. It sounded great, but then at the time when he was saying it, he was saying it's going to cost this much. You got any money to? So we were going to go halves, and then it was just like from the position where I was in, I didn't have the money and funding to do it. So I was like, well, I don't want to be negative and say no, but I've got no choice about it. So
Top Life have got Dreads, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Dreads. They've got J. Carl Loyal.
Yeah.
And they just signed a boxer, haven't they? I'm trying to think of his name.
Look.
Yeah, they signed a boxer. Really good. He's a nice guy. He's a guy called Andrew Diego. He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, well, it's probably worth being on the best side of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the problem. Like, there's all these expenses and stuff and underlying costs that people don't even know about when you get into music. And then suddenly you're there and these labels are like, all right, cool. The show's going to cost you 10 grand just to get the venue, and then the tour's going to cost you another 60 grand and this and that. But obviously, we know you don't have the money, so we'll give it you right now. But
let us
know when them streams start rolling in, and we'll come get the money back.
I've seen it from the flip side, yeah. So I did a headline show for, do you know all the graffiti that's all around the town?
Yeah.
Well, basically, I did a show which put that up, and we called War Games. I was part of the organisers. With Martsky. I don't know if you know Martsky.
Yeah, he should have been here tonight.
Yeah, he should have been. Yeah,
Black Marks Martsky.
But yeah, so we did a show called War Games. It was a graffiti show. So in the day, they did all the town live graffiti everywhere, all through the town. and then we did the after party at the Roadmender, and we got Dirty Dyke. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's like a, he's signed with High Focus, so he's done really well. And we were like, how much for you to, and he was like, $6,000, and we were like, we got the funding from the council, luckily, but it was a long process. Like, but then we thought, ah, that's sweet, we'll put that down, we'll save it. But then when it comes to the getting him to come, he's like, ah, you've got to pay for my hotel, you've got to pay for my rider, you've got to pay for this, you've got to pay for that. And we ended up getting him like about 6 boxes of pizzas from Domino's, leaving loads of bottles of alcohol in his little fridge in the back of Roadbender. But do you know what? It was like, for me, it was like a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I see it. Because then I knew that that's kind of accepted in, for these bigger artists, you've got to have a rider set up.
Obviously.
And you've got to look after them.
It's different levels of expectations
and
from them.
And it is. You can't, it's almost like, depending on the artist's ego, it kind of either really expensive or they're just not really
bottle of water.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Okay. This is the first of our group podcasts. How do you think it went?
I think it went really well, and I've learnt so much already, so it's good.
Yeah. It went really well. It feels good to be a part of a discussion like this.
We're planning
for something as important as this.
We're planning to do once a month.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm in.
I think once a month's good.
And I think we could pick up on the back end of what we just finished in about the signing the right contract, you know what I mean? A few years ago,
like what you did there, the right contract.
Sign the right contract, because a few years ago I interviewed a guy called Cisco, probably well known for the Thong Song many years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in a record deal that he couldn't get out of, and for 5 years he couldn't perform, sing, go into a studio. You can imagine what happened to an artist at the top.
Is that
of the game
after
that's why he disappeared? 5 years. But you're not allowed to do that in 5 years. No. You're gone, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was on a comeback tour, but that's what happens when you sign the wrong contracts.
So yeah.
Having people on the app.
Was like, who was it? Was it Ray?
Always read the small print, man.
He's always read
the small print.
No, but like Ray. Couldn't release music.
Do you know the girl, the singer Ray?
Oh, she's amazing. I can't wait to see her live.
She signed to her label, and they completely.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they completely.
Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. we're just going to end. We're going to wrap up now.
I didn't know whether to take it off.
I was like, so the rapper I was talking about was Chance the Rapper. He's the American one who's
100%
independent.
Is he?
Yeah, but he's got a massive team around him, so he's not independent. He's doing on his own, but he's not.
But he's running it. He's headline of his whole thing.
He's independent as well.
Yeah.
Independent.
All right. I've been Mark Dean on this podcast.
I'm Caroline Wright from Wright Events.
I'm Leon Denton from Lay It Down.
I'm Ollie Nags.
Tino, better known as Zeno.
All right, we're out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.